Some see an upside to the recent controversy over mass transit in Bloomington Normal.
How can we improve the service that we currently provide, one? And then two, what do we believe our transit system for Bloomington Normal should look like?
That's Bloomington City Manager Tim Gleason. I'm Ryan Denham, and this is GLT's The Leadoff.
Support for GLT's The Leadoff comes from listeners like you. Join the community of news consumers who listen to this podcast and are also willing to support it financially. Contribute at WGLT.org.
It's Tuesday, June 25th. Coming up, what you need to know to start your day. It's The Leadoff from GLT, Bloomington Normal's public media. Now let's lead off with the Bloomington City Council passing a wait-and-see resolution concerning Connect Transit and the recent public campaign to undo a route cut and fare increases. GLT's Charlie Schlenker has more.
The resolution expresses support for a working group set up by the Connect Transit Board. That body is looking at the future of the bus system and its funding. The panel will report back in the fall. Councilmember Jeff Crabill tried to insert a substitute resolution. That failed. Some council members said it came with short notice. Others said it sounded too much like an intergovernmental agreement and the town of Normal hadn't had a chance to weigh in. Crabill says he's okay with that because the resolution that did pass asks for a focus on the system as a whole to make sure the mission of Connect Transit is being followed.
That we focus on both ridership and coverage. Coverage meaning people that are dependent on transit, whether they're able-bodied or paratransit.
The resolution also calls for exploring ways to offset fare increases if the working group concludes fare hikes and route cuts are warranted. City Manager Steve Gleason says in the case of Connect Mobility, which serves those with disabilities, that amounts to an extra $30,000 per year.
If the working group also agrees with the original budget submission by the Connect Transit Group to increase the fares, I've got a council that believes that it's a relatively low cost that we would add to the amount that we've contributed to hold the mobility fare increase.
Bloomington already supports Connect Transit with about $1.2 million per year. Most bus systems have their own taxing authority and are not dependent on municipalities. Connect Transit has proposed a change to the Pink Route, which will add stops in the Orlando Avenue area in Normal. The six-month use experiment will offset the loss of the Olive Route. Yet, Bloomington Council members such as Kim Bray say they might want a closer look in the future by renegotiating the intergovernmental agreement that created the board and determines what it can decide to do.
Significant changes, whether or not a fare increase, for instance, of the nature that we've seen here would be considered a significant increase requiring council approval and from both bodies in order to take effect.
City Manager Tim Gleason says he's not sure if there is a norm for how closely municipalities oversee transit boards and what they allow them to do on their own, but certainly revisiting the intergovernmental agreement, he says, is in order.
You know, that's something that should be done yearly, you know, where you revisit and you see if there's things that are a part of that IGA that shouldn't be there anymore or we need to update.
Though the heated debate over Connect Transit Board decisions is showing signs of abating, at least for a few months, Gleason says there's an upside to the controversy.
Because even if we find that some of the complaints weren't warranted, really an output of this is how can we improve the service that we currently provide, one, and then two, what do we believe our transit system for Bloomington Normal should look like?
Connect Transit will soon give the Bloomington Council a presentation much like the one given last week to the Normal Council, unpacking data that led the board to approve fare increases and route changes in the first place. I'm Charlie Schlenker.
And here are some of the other stories we're following in the GLT newsroom. 27-year-old Jose D. Rodriguez of Bloomington has turned himself in to police after allegedly fleeing the scene of a fatal hit-and-run crash over the weekend. The crash at Main and MacArthur killed motorcyclist Corey R. Cottrell. A 74-year-old man from Normal whose hallucinations police feared put the public at risk will return to court next month in hopes of getting his guns back. It's the first local case involving the state's red flag law that went into effect January 1st. And the state's Monetary Award Program, or MAP, will be able to give more grants with more money, thanks to an extra $50 million appropriated by the Illinois General Assembly. Find those stories and more at WGLT.org. President Trump says he's giving lawmakers 2 weeks to sort out a solution for the southern border. If not, he says, deportations start. Now, this is all in wake of his threat to launch immigration raids this week across the U.S., raids that the president called off, quote, at the request of Democrats, unquote. Senator Dick Durbin is a Democrat from Illinois. He joined NPR's Mary Louise Kelly and All Things Considered to talk about the raids.
There were many of us who think the idea of mass arrest and mass deportation are going to result in terrible human and family outcomes. Imagine that child coming home from school to find the empty house if the parents have been deported.
We at NPR interviewed on Friday the head of Immigration and Customs Enforcement. This is Mark Morgan, the acting ICE director. He told us, look, my agency has no choice but to enforce the law. If you don't like it, lawmakers can change it. But if we don't go out and knock on doors and arrest people who have entered this country illegally, that undercuts the rule of law. How do you answer that, Senator?
I listened to that interview. And I thought to myself, Mr. Morgan, you have a choice here. You have 11 million people who are technically out of legal status in the United States. Well, the highest priority is to take those who may be any danger to us whatsoever, criminal records and the like, and to make sure they are deported. But if you're going to go out and, in a broadcast fashion and just take anyone who falls into the net and say you're gone, you're going to be ignoring the reality that many people who are here are living in households where there may be one undocumented person and otherwise a family of American citizens, all following the law, all doing the right thing. The priority should be remove those who are dangerous to America first.
Well, let me just see if I can pin you down quickly in terms of where things go next. I said this suspension is temporary. The president says you guys have got 2 weeks to figure out a solution on the border. Is it clear to you what would need to get done in the next 2 weeks to satisfy the president?
I have no idea what will satisfy this president. I've been down this road so many times where he sets goals, we meet them with legislation, and he walks away from them. He's a very difficult man to bargain or deal with when it comes to the issue of immigration, and the reason's obvious. When he ran for president, he made it clear to America he would be tougher on immigration than any president in recent memory. And he certainly has, from the travel ban all the way to the current times with zero tolerance and families being divided. Yet look at our border now. The worst breakdown we've seen on our southern border in modern memory under this get-tough president. Could it be that is not the approach that will work? I hope we can do it on a bipartisan basis.
You and Senator Graham, Republican Senator Lindsey Graham, did meet last week with the president's son-in-law and advisor Jared Kushner. Y'all were talking about changes to asylum laws, as I understand it. Did that lend you to any optimistic view in terms of that there may be a path forward for, A, a plan that could win bipartisan support, and B, that could win the support of the White House?
I don't know if we can reach that point. I've had a good working relationship with Senator Graham. We have many, many differences. But when it comes to immigration, we've worked hard to find common ground, and I'm willing to try again. But we need a spirit of good faith and willingness on both sides, Democrats and Republicans. And for goodness sakes, as we start talking about getting tough at the border, let's not take it out on the kids.
And do I hear you correctly? You're saying you do see a path forward in terms of working with Republicans in Congress. It's the White House that is the obstacle as from where you sit?
Well, I don't know if they're an obstacle. I will tell you that I sat down with Senator Graham last week. I said, here are five things we're ready to agree on today. Let's do it on a bipartisan basis. If it's not enough, we can return and try again. But let's not waste our time with a political standoff.
That's Illinois Senator Dick Durbin late yesterday on NPR's All Things Considered. Before we let you go, the McLean County Farm Bureau hosts an industrial hemp forum tonight at 6:30 p.m. at its Bloomington office. Attendees will learn about the challenges and opportunities for growing industrial hemp in central Illinois. If you like listening to this podcast, here's a new way to do it. We have an Alexa flash briefing skill set up for this show, so you can queue it up each morning on your smart speaker. However you're listening, thank you. Support for this podcast comes from listeners like you. Join the community of news consumers who listen to this podcast and are also willing to support it financially. Contribute at WGLT.org.